I want to set a foundation, and it's good to set a solid foundation upon which we can work on. You know, some men, amen, names are given to them, such as a king, amen. Some men make their names great, amen, because of their accomplishments, and some men, amen, name has been conferred upon them. Jesus' name is great, first of all. He inherited a great name. We see in Hebrews 1, they say he's inherit a more excellent name than all the angelic beings. And two, his name is great because of his achievements. And three, his name has been conferred upon him because of his conquest, amen. Jesus had bestowed that name upon him. So we know that in heaven, amen, there was a name, amen, that was stored in heaven, that was waiting, amen, to give to someone that would merit that name. And we know who that name is, Jesus, amen. That name has been conferred upon him, amen, by our Father, which is in heaven, amen. And we see right here in Hebrews, amen, Hebrews, it says that he has inheritance. He had obtained a more excellent name than all the angelic beings, amen. And because he's a son, he's an heir of all things, amen. And because he's an heir, amen, his name is above every name. And the Bible says that he's the express image of his person. He's the brightness. And one scripture says he's the outshining of the Father, amen. And we see that God spoke to us. He's speaking to us today through Jesus Christ, amen. We see right here in the first chapter, it says, God, who has sundry times and in divers manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. He says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his son. So God is speaking to us through his word. He's speaking to us, amen, through his son, through Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ has obtained a more excellent name. His name is above every name, amen. And at the name of Jesus, every knee, I'm talking about in three worlds, in all three worlds, heaven, earth, amen, and hell, has to bow down to this name. I'm talking about it has to honor this name. It has to respect this name. Amen. And this name has been given to us, amen, to use in prayer, amen, and dealing with demons and sickness and diseases. God has given us this name, and we need to know who we are in Christ. We need to know the name that God has given to us, because everything that Jesus was when he was on the earth, everything that he was when he was on this earth, his accomplishments, his achievements, all the authority, all the power is in that name. Amen. And we got to see that, baby. We got to see that you know, sometimes we just use that name. We just throw that name out like any other name. But until we get into this word, amen, and start studying this word and get this word in our spirit, because this is where it's at in our spirit, amen. God don't speak to us through our minds, amen. The Bible says they that worship God must worship him in spirit and truth, amen. He don't speak to us in our minds, amen, but it has to go through our minds, amen. Our minds is the gateway to our spirit. Amen. Our ears is the gateway to our spirit. So we got to get in our ears. We got to get in our head to get it down to our heart. Amen. Then when our heart get a revelation knowledge of it, amen, that's when it dawns on our minds. Amen. The Bible talks about in Hebrews, in Romans, it says, be renewed, amen, in your mind. Amen. Our minds, our soul is not saved. Our soul is not born again. Amen. So we have to get in that word and we have to renew our minds. But our spirit, man, is born again. Amen. Jesus made that fact plain and clear, amen, when he died for us on the cross. Amen. Here in Philippians 2 and 9, it says, wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. If we can just get that in our spirit, amen, if we can just get that down in our soul, if it can just filter, amen, to our spirit, amen, what Jesus has done for us, amen, on the cross, amen, it'll be said of us, amen, that there are giants, amen. It'll be said of us, like it said in the Old Testament, there are giants in the land. When we get this word of God on the inside of us, and when we begin to use that word, amen, begin to utilize what God has given us, amen, people say, oh, there's giants over there at the Church Covington. Amen. We'll be doing exploits. Amen. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to get that name. He wants to use that name. Amen. He wants to use that authority because the devil is already defeated. See, that what the devil is trying to do, he's trying to get in our minds. See, the devil work in the spirit realm. He work in the sense realm. Amen. He's trying to throw us off. He's trying to get us think about all the troubles that we're going through. Amen. He's trying to get about the sickness that we're going through. But we need to get our word. We need to get our mind on the word of God. Amen. God is bigger than sickness. He's bigger than diseases. So what you are going through, they went through in the Old Testament. Amen. That name is still alive today. A lot of people will say that Jesus, they use that name of Jesus to establish the church, to start the church. So what they saying, that the name of Jesus ain't powerful no more? We don't have the same power, authority that they had in the Old Testament? If that name don't work today, then we don't have salvation. Because ain't no other name that men are saved but by the name of Jesus. We won't even be saved. Amen. People with their stupid heads and they thinking, they will tell you that the name of Jesus, that all those exploits that they did in Acts, that was for them back then. Don't you know we're in the same church? The early church ain't no different than the church now in the early church. We're in the body of Christ. We are one body. Amen. So everything that they did in Acts, those are not just stories. Amen. That God wants to use that. He wants to use them as examples. He wants to do the same thing that they did in Acts today, amen, that they did back then. Amen. The name of Jesus on our lips will work the same today as it did then. The same, and God wants to see it. And a lot of times, until we get in that word of God, until we study that word of God and get in our spirits, amen, we won't catch it. You just can't get in the word of God and say, well, I'll try it later. It's not for me now. You'll never get it. It's continual studying in that word, getting in that word, giving that word first place in your life. You have to get in that word. That's the only way you're going to get it down your spirit. And we're going to have to get that revelation knowledge of that word. Right here in Philippians 9, I want to read, it says, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus that every knee shall bow, things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, I want to say this right here. Until we get into that word, we won't get the revelation knowledge. God has given us the right to use that name. Amen. And we have a right to use that name. The world can't use that name because they're not saved. They're not born again. Amen. And right here, we'll see in Ephesians. Amen. We'll see what God. Now, this is an unusual prayer in Ephesians chapter 1. I'm talking about it's just an unusual prayer. And Paul prayed this prayer, amen, for the church of Ephesians. But this prayer applies for the church covenant. It applies for us today. It was not just for the church covenant, but the church everywhere. The church, that, you know what I'm saying? The church in Dallas, the church in Florida, it applies for the church everywhere. And what Paul was trying to get us to see, amen, in verse 17, he says that, well, verse 18, he says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. You know that hope of his calling, that's future. Amen. He wants you to see what he got for you in the future. That's the hope of his calling. Amen. Then he says, and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That's right now, present. Amen. Because we have an inheritance right now. Amen. And he wants us to see what we have, all that we have in Christ, all that we have in his word. And he goes on, which he wrought, verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? And that's past. That's what Jesus has already done. Amen. When God raised him, the same power that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, that's the same power that lives on the inside of us. And Paul wants to realize what the power that's on the inside of us says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us were. He wants you to see what Christ has done for us. He wants to see the power of the glory of that name, amen, that has been invested to the church. It's been delegated to the church. All that authority and all that power has been delegated to him. And we see that when Jesus died, and it's no wonder when Jesus died, he says, all power has been given unto me. Amen. That's what he told the disciples. The 28, he said, go out and make disciples of men. He said, I give you this power. He said, go out and make disciples of men. Amen. And guess what he said? And he said that these signs, check it. He said these signs will follow those who believe. You know what that word follow? That word follow means in the Greek, it means accompany. He's gonna be right there alongside us. He's gonna be accompanying us, amen. While we perform these exploits, he's gonna be right there with us, amen. You know how the word of God is with us? The Bible says that with two or more come in the name of Jesus, he's there. You know how Jesus is there? He's there in his name. He's there. When you speak the name of Jesus, see, that name that name in all three realms, in heaven, earth, amen, and hell, that name reigns supreme. Amen. God wants to use that name. Amen. The Bible says that he talks about prayer. He said, when you go to the Father in my name, he'll give it for you. He'll give it to you. Amen. It's that name. It's in his name, amen, that we do these great things. It's in his name that we break the chains. It's in his name that we do these great exploits, amen. It's in his name. And Paul wanted to get us to see that. He says, above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is come. In verse 22. And guess what? He says, and had put all things under his feet. Now, he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things. So why he did all this? He gave him to be head for the benefit of the church. He did all this for our benefit. Amen. Jesus, he ain't, you know, a lot of people say for Jesus, when they be praying, like, in Jesus' sake. It ain't for his sake. It's for our sake that he did this. He did this for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm talking about we was in our worst. Amen. Christ came down and he died for us. Amen. And so Paul wanted to get you to see that everything is, if it's under Jesus, Jesus is the head. We are the body. Amen. So if it's under his feet, he's talking about the church. We the church. We the body. Amen. And the devil should be on our feet at all times. Amen. We shouldn't be living in defeat, but the only way that we're going to get to that place of victory, the only way we're going to get to that place where we're walking in the authority and the power of God, we have to get in that word of God. We have to study the word. You cannot get around it. It's not going to fall on you like ripe cherries. It's just not going to happen. You have to get in that word. You have to study that word. Amen. You got to get that word down in your spirit, man. It has to get down there. And we see, amen, we see a deeper view of his conquest, amen, in Colossians 2:15, amen, out of the Amplified Bible. I'm going to read Colossians 2:15 out of the Amplified Bible. Amen. And we see in the greater view what Christ has did for us on the cross and all that he has accomplished for us. And it reads in verse 15, God disarmed the principalities and powers that were ranged against us and made a bold display and public example of them in triumphing over them in him and in it, the cross. Amen. So what Jesus did on the cross, he defeated the devil. Amen. On the cross, and we see this in Colossians 1:12-13. This is what he did for us. He delivered us from the power of darkness. Amen. And Colossians 2:15 gives us a glimpse of the tremendous victory that Jesus had won for us before he rose from the dead. Amen. We're going to see, I'm going to show you what Jesus did. Amen. Before he rose from the dead. Amen. What he established for us, what he got for us. Amen. The authority and the power that he have given the church, that he delegated, that he left with the church. One scripture in Colossians 2:15 says, having put off from himself the principalities and powers, he rose the mighty victory. Amen. So the sin problem was settled. When he rose from the dead, the sin ain't no sin problem. It's a sinner's problem. The sin problem already been settled on the cross. Amen. We get the sin of the Christ, and that solves the sin problem. Amen. Because the sin problem already been solved through his death, resurrection, through his burial, death, and resurrection. Amen. And we see this right here in Matthew, amen, 27:46, when Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When Jesus died, amen, the Bible talks about him dying a death, amen. He not only died a physical death, because if he just died a physical death, that's all it would have been, is physical. God, Jesus died spiritually, amen. He took on our sins. He took on our guilt, amen. He took on our burdens. And he died. He said, my God, my God. God separated himself. That was spiritual death. There's spiritual death. There's a separation from God. God separated himself. I'm talking about, just imagine Jesus hanging on the cross. Amen. He couldn't even see God. He couldn't see God. He said, my God, why have thou forsaken me? He died spiritually for us. Because we were spiritually dead. Amen. When Adam, when he committed high treason, amen, Adam was the God of this world. And then when he sinned, God told him, he said, the moment you eat of this tree, you're going to die. But we ate that tree. He didn't die right then. He's talking about a spiritual death. And if we have to see that as a spiritual death, because if we don't see it spiritual, we'll never get it. Because it wasn't a physical thing, it was a spiritual thing. He died for us spiritually, and he died for us physically. I got a quote, my first quote on there. He became what we were, spiritually dead, separated from God, that we might become like he is now. He took our place. Amen. He took our place spiritually. I used to tell guys in the Old Testament, I say, don't spend all your time in the Old Testament, because the Old Testament, that was written for spiritually dead people. I ain't got time to teach on it, but that was written for spiritually dead people. You say, what, Abraham was spiritually dead? Yes, he was spiritually dead. Moses was spiritually dead because Jesus Christ hadn't yet rose. See, when Adam committed high treason, when he sinned, Adam died spiritually. And the only way to get back to God, that spirit man had to be renewed. Jesus had to come. Jesus Christ said in the Gospels, he said the Holy Ghost hadn't yet came because I hadn't yet died yet. I ain't came back. I hadn't yet rolled. You weren't going to get the Holy Spirit until I go to the Father and present my body to him. What I did when I went to the grave and defeated the devil, the Holy Spirit wasn't going to come until that happened. Amen. In Hebrews 2:14, amen, it says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him who had power of death, that is the devil. Amen. And that word death here is spiritual death. It's not physical death. And Isaiah 53, it'd be a good thing to study Isaiah 53. Then we'll get a deeper understanding of what Christ did. Isaiah 53:9, it says, he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. And that word death, if you look in the margin, it's a number beside that death. And you look in the margin, you'll see deaths. It's saying deaths with the S at the end, plural. So he just didn't die just one death. He died two deaths. He died a physical death and a spiritual death. He became what we were that we might become like he is now. And it says, Hebrews 2:14. Let me read that in another version. He says, in order that through death he might paralyze him that held dominion of death, that is the devil. Jesus paralyzed him. Amen. Not only did he rise, not only did he roll with the keys of death and hell, amen, he took the very armor that Satan trusted in. He stripped him and left him paralyzed. You know what paralyzed is? When somebody is paralyzed, amen, that's how you got to look at the devil. He's paralyzed. He said he left him paralyzed. I'm talking about helpless. Amen. And the devil wants you to think, he wants you to think that you're helpless, that you don't have no hope. That's what the devil wants you to think. But he's paralyzed. He don't have no hope. He know what his end is. Amen. He know what his demise is. He know that he's going to burn forever. He's going to suffer just like everybody else that's in hell. He's going to burn. He's going to be gnashing the teeth. He's going to suffer too. But he don't want you to know that. He don't want you to know who you are in Christ. He don't want you to know the power that you have in Christ. And so he put off from himself the awful burden of guilt and sin and sickness that he carried because he took our place. He had all of that. He grappled with Satan and conquered him and left him paralyzed, whipped, and defeated. Hey, he left him paralyzed, whipped, and defeated. I'm to my trembling. Heaven and earth and under the earth, they got to bow down to that name. They got to, they tremble at that name. But the devil don't want you to know the authority and the power that you have in that name. We're supposed to be having the devil tremble. Amen. And we see this in Luke 11, 21 and 22, that this scripture being fulfilled. That what the devil being, he being whipped and defeated. Luke 11, 21, 22. It says, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherewith he trusted and divided his spoil. That's just what Jesus did. Jesus went to hell, took the keys of death and hell. Amen. And left him paralyzed. Amen. Took that very armor that he trusted in. Stronger than him. Jesus had to come. We couldn't do it. Bulls and goats couldn't do it. It had to take Jesus Christ to go, amen, and defeat the devil on our behalf. So what we got to do, we have to enforce, amen, what Jesus Christ has already established. We got to enforce it. The devil is not going to stop, so we shouldn't stop. We got to keep our foot on his neck. That's what he said. That's what he said. He said everything is under Jesus' foot. We are his foot. So it's under us. Amen. And we got to know that. We have to realize that. We have to get that in our spirit. So when Christ rose from the dead, he not only had the keys of death and hell, but the very armor that he trusted in. Acts 19, 13 and 17. I'm not going to be long. I'm almost about to go. I just want you to get this message in you. And I want you to know who you are in Christ. I want you to know the power and the authority that you have in Jesus Christ. That you're not just here. That's not just a name just to throw out there. That name carries everything in it. When you read in the Gospels, all the exploits that Jesus did, all his accomplishments. Remember I told you when I first started that names are made great. You know what I'm saying? For example, like a king, and some men make their name great because of their accomplishments, and some names are conferred upon them. That name Jesus was conferred upon him because of his conquest, because of what he went to hell and did. He took the key from Satan. He took the keys of death and hell from Satan and left him paralyzed, left him whipped, left him defeated. Right here in 19, it says, 19, 13 to 17, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, and a chief of the priests which did so. And the evil spirits answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Amen. That's what the devil should. He should recognize the Jesus in us. Amen. He should recognize the authority, the power that we have in us. Jesus I know. The church covenant I know. Amen. See that those seven sons of Sceva, they didn't have the right to use that name. They weren't even born again. The world don't have a right to use that name. Amen. But we have a right to use that name. I mean, the Bible don't say it, but I can guarantee that them guys ain't never try that again. The enemy, the devil came out on that. He came out of that man and came out on them and left them naked, running. But the devil shouldn't have the church naked and running. We're supposed to have him naked, defeated and paralyzed under our feet. But to get to this place, we're going to have to study the Word of God. We have to get the Word of God first place in our life. We have to get the Word of God first. You got to make yourself. Sometimes you got to make yourself study. You got to make yourself pray because the flesh don't want to do the right thing. We got the flesh to contend with. And the flesh don't want to do the things of God. The flesh and the spirit war against each other. Amen. So that we won't do the things that we want to do. So we have to get flat-footed. We have to get in that word. We have to meditate on that word. That's why the Bible says meditate on that word. He gives us the blueprint of how to be successful. Right here in this word. This is the blueprint. Right here in this word. And some of this stuff I'm just catching. I knew about it, but you know, sometimes you know about something, but you really don't practice it. You really don't get into it because you allow the things of life, the activity, the rat race. You know, get our focus off, but we got to get back focused on this word. Man, look here, when we get back focused on this word, man, we're going to do great exploits. Nothing will be able to stop us. The devil, no one will be able to stop us. Amen. Right here in John, amen, 14, 12 through 14, in John 16, we see Jesus said in 14, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. And in verse 13, he says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified. But right here, that word ask means demand. So Jesus saying in 14, whatever you demand, not demand of Jesus, but you demanding of the devil in that name. In the name, Jesus said, I'll do it for you. Amen. Now, in chapter 16, this right here is associated with prayer. Jesus almost said the same thing, but it's associated with prayer. He says, in that day, John 16:23, in that day, ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name. See, that's associated with prayer in 16. But in 14, he said, whatever you ask, that Greek word means demand, whatever you demand. So in verse 14, you're demanding. Devil, get your hands off my finances. You're demanding. Devil, get your hands off my family. You're demanding. Get your hands out of my situation. Get your hands off my health. You're demanding. But right here in 16, it's associated with prayer. Amen. And so we got to know who we are in Christ. We got to know the authority that we have in Christ. And we have to utilize it. We have to use that name. That name is given to us. Don't let the devil trick you. Don't let him fool you out of the authority that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm going to close with this right here. In the book of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we see that when they was writing to the Jews, in those books, you see that they're encouraging people to believe and to have faith. But in John, not one time in John, nor in the epistles, that believers are encouraged to believe or to have faith. In those first three books that was written to the Jews, we quote them because there are principles in that. But in John and all the epistles, amen, we see that no believer is encouraged to believe or to have faith. You know why? Because it's already ours. That name is already given to us. If you study the Word of God, study the Word of God from John to epistles, you not see one time that where believers are encouraged to believe or to have faith. Because that name is given to us. We can use that name. We have a right to use that name. Amen. We have a right. We have a right to utilize that name. We have a right to put the devil up on our feet. And guess what? He has to respect it. He has to honor that name. Amen. Sometimes the devil, he's going to fight. He's going to fight. He's going to fight you. But guess what? You stand flat-footed and let the devil know. Because the devil came at Jesus. The devil came at Jesus. Guess what Jesus did? Jesus ain't hooper and holler. You only have to hoop and holler. Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devil. No, you don't have to do it. Jesus ain't doing none of that. Jesus, he just used the word. He just used the word. The devil came at him again. He used the word. See, the devil didn't give up. And guess what? He still didn't give up because the Bible said he just left him for a little while. The devil is going to come back. And when you come back, you're going to be ready for him. You know why you're going to be ready for him? Because you've been out here, got your word. You've been out here, gotten your word. Been out here, got that word in your spirit. That revelation knowledge that Paul has spoke of in Ephesians 1. It's going to well up in you. Amen. And you're going to use the word of God. You're going to do great exploits. You know what they're going to tell? You know what they're going to tell about the church covenant? They are giants over there. They're going to say we are giants, spiritual giants. Spiritual giants. That's what we got to be, spiritual giants. And this year, I'm talking about this year that started last year. This year, it's been a trying year for me. I'm talking about it was hard. My wife crying, I'm crying. I'm talking about the business is going crazy. But you know what? I wouldn't take it back for nothing. I got to a point, I said, I ain't finna cry no more. I told myself, what you doing? What you doing? I mean, you know, we in the flesh. We got the flesh to deal with. I said, you know what? You're going to stand up. You're going to practice what you preach. You're going to stand on the word of God. The devil's going to be defeated in your life. You're not going to let the devil. And you know what? I've been happy. When things go on, I just get happy. I say, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I use that name. I use it. You can't wear the name out because that name has power. That name has power throughout generations. When you dead and gone, that name still gonna have power. That name has not lost its power since Jesus Christ raised from the dead. That name still got power. That name still has power. And we got to believe it. We got to receive it. Amen. That's what the woman with the issue of blood did. Know what the Bible said? The Bible said she heard. The Bible said that she heard. And when she heard it, guess what? She acted on it. She spoke it. You know what the Bible said? She said when you read in the King James, you just read it that, no, she came and touched him in his garment. She said, if I may but touch his clothes. But in the Greek, she kept saying, it's a continuation. If I may but touch his clothes. So she kept saying it all the way to, that I may but touch his clothes. And when she touched it, man, that faith will release. Jesus, you know what? If you read in the Gospels, Jesus, it's a lot of people Jesus didn't heal. Their faith did it. Their faith released it. Their faith. Their faith released it. Jesus said, I felt virtue. I felt power come from me. The power come from him, evidently, but it was that faith that released that power. And it's going to take that faith to release that power in our life. We got to be like that woman with the issue of blood. We got to be like that blind born and made us. He won't let nobody stop him. I'm pressing through. I don't care what y'all say. I don't care. I'm talking about that woman with the issue of blood. She could have got stoned. She wasn't even supposed to have been out there. She'd been bleeding for 100 years. Amen. I'm just exaggerating. She'd been bleeding all this time, but she didn't care. You know why she didn't care and why you shouldn't care? Because you heard the word. You got that word on the inside of you. So you shouldn't care what the devil has to say about what's going on in you. Well, the circumstances. God don't want to look at the circumstances. He want to look at God, because God is bigger than our circumstances. If we look at God, amen, we'll see that our circumstances are so small. It's really not. He said these light afflictions. He said these light afflictions. He called them light afflictions. It don't feel like no light afflictions. I ain't gonna lie. It don't even feel like no light affliction. I'm talking about these bills coming back. I'm talking about every time you turn around, the bills coming out every week. I'm talking about sometimes you're getting behind. It don't feel like no light afflictions. But if he say they light afflictions, then that's what it is. That's what the word of God said. Whatever the word of God says, I heard a guy, Smith Wigworth said, an old English man, he said, the word of God says it, I believe it, and that sells it. And the word of God should settle every situation in our life. It should settle every situation. Sickness, I'm talking about cancer. Cancer got to bow down to that name, but we have to get a revelation of it. Paul said right here that he prayed in Ephesians that you may get a revelation. He said right here that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. He wants you to get a, he said in 17 that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. So we got to get a revelation of the word. And the only way we're going to get a revelation of the word, we have to study the word. That's the only way you're going to get a revelation. If you don't get in that word, it's not going to fall on you like right charity. If you don't get in that word and get a revelation of that word, you'll never get it. Because it's down in here. It's not up here. It's not here. It's here. It comes from it. You got to get it here. When you get it here, woo! When you get it there, you got it. You got it. When you get it here, you got it. Amen. And I'll close on that note. In Jesus' name, I just thank you for allowing me to speak today, for allowing me to come before you guys. And I just love you guys. I love the church covenant. And I want you guys to be empowered. I want you guys to walk in the authority of Jesus Christ. Amen.